Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here so that together we can be a family of faith, a community of courage, and people of loveliness. We can't be any of those things without each other. So I'm glad you're here. And we have a special Sunday for you today. We are going to have a buffet of outreach. Information, ideas, and inspiration. And we do this on the heels of our annual diocesan convention, which just concluded 2 weeks ago, in which our bishop is moving the diocese more into the realm of justice. Humane justice, or you might want to call it social justice. This is not a new direction. Okay, this is not new. This is as old as the footsteps of Jesus, who imparted to us, welcome the stranger. It's anybody who looks different than you look. Heal the sick and the ill, including the mentally ill. Tend the dying, including a planet in peril. And visit those in prison. We have to recognize who's in prison. It's anybody whose yoke is heavy and whose burden isn't light for any reason at all, whether it's economic, lack of housing or health care, lack of opportunity or education. So our bishop is causing us to refocus on these things again. And we've always done this. We've done a good job doing it with our pocketbooks. You know, give money to the experts who know how to do these things. Now we're being called to do this work with our hands and with our hearts and with our heads, because these things are things we need to think about. And so we've got a special Sunday for you here with an invited guest and also a member of our own outreach committee. We hope to do this quarterly, always bearing in mind that when we do this work, we are growing ourselves spiritually, okay? It's not either or. We grow spiritually. We engage our faith because a spiritual master, Richard Rohr, has said, if we don't transform spiritually, inwardly, our pain, our anger, our impatience, we will transmit it. We want to be people of peace. And so we would like to welcome our special invited guest. His name is Dave Downey. He is pastor of Western Colorado Christian Campus Ministries and a board member of the Suicide Prevention Alliance of Mesa County. He works with young people, and he knows better than maybe most of us how suicide has become epidemic among young people and those not so young. We'll hear from him, and then we'll hear from Jay Mashburn from our own outreach committee. And a little later during our announcements, we're going to hear from our deacon, whose calling it is, remember, ordained calling, is to bring the world and its problems into the church. So she'll be talking to us a little bit about something that needs our attention. But first, please join me in welcoming Pastor Dave Downey.
Thank you very much for letting me come today. Reverend Johnson, I really did appreciate what you said about a courageous community, a community of courageous people, Christians coming together. We need to see that. My name is Dave Downey, and are you not hearing me? Oh, I am so sorry. I am so not used to using mics. A lot of yelling with kids. I thought to save some time and let you know what I'm bringing, I thought I'd take you on the journey that I went on. I have been a minister for 25 years this year, starting in Iowa for 15 years. I worked at a church there. In the time I was in Iowa, I experienced one suicide in my group, and it was actually the father of one of my students. And in 15 years, that's all we dealt with. 10 years ago, I was invited to come to this valley to work with Clifton Christian Church as their youth minister. They needed to rebuild their program. Within a week of coming into that group, I had 17 students that were cutting themselves that I identified. And this is something I'd never worked with in Iowa. Here, it was different. 17 students that were hurting themselves on purpose. In that time period, I also found out that many of the students that I was working with, college students, were very, very broken. So 6 years ago, I started working on the campus with Western Colorado Christian Campus Ministries. I did both jobs and kind of did them together. And then 3 years ago, we decided that can't happen. The kids on the campus are too broken. 3 years ago, one of my students, Joe, took his own life. He did it in a very surprising way, because the day before, he and I had been together, and he prayed for me, and he thanked me for all the things I did in his life. The next day, I get the call that we had lost him. I'm going to tell you, the journey I went through, it broke me. I had to sit down with a counselor. I was lucky enough to sit down with his counselor, the counselor that worked with Joe. And here's what Joe's counselor told me. He said he couldn't tell me anything about Joe's life, but he said Joe was suicidal for well over a year. And it was because of the group that I work with, Christian Student Fellowship on campus. Joe had become part of our group, and we had kept him alive by giving him one more day for an entire year. And then he lost the battle. It is a spiritual war. He lost the battle, and it broke myself, it broke our group. So we asked this counselor, what do we do? How do we overcome our pain and bring kind of bring it back to normality? And his response was, you do two things. You find other people around you and give them one more day, because there's so many broken around us. And he said also, get into the discussion of suicide. Learn what it is and how to fight it. So the last 3 years, I've been trying to find this connection. I am a pastor, and I know that God loves people and the broken people, and I wanted to know how broken people, good, solid Christian people also, can be so broken that they feel like there's no hope and that suicide is the only option. So I've been doing a lot of research, scriptural research, talking to experts, and I find there's very little research done by Christians on the topic of suicide. So I started asking around. Some of the things I found out, 20% of all college students, 20% of all college students in our country are suicidal at any given moment. So a campus of 11,000 people, my math is not good, but it means that over 2,000 of these college students are suicidal right now at this moment. It is a scary thought. 10% of all suicides in our country happen on a college campus. That's the scary part of these numbers, is the numbers are dropping down into high school and junior high. The national average for young people in our country, from the ages of 14 to 17, the second leading cause of death for 14 to 17-year-olds is suicide. In Colorado, it's the number one. Mesa County, our county, has roughly 100,000 people, just a little bit more. National statistics say that in a grouping of 100,000 people, 12 people will commit suicide. Colorado average, in among 100,000 people, it's actually 20 people. Mesa County, it's 35 people. Our average in this county is 3 times higher than the national average. 2016, that meant there was 48 suicides. 6 of those were high school students. This statistics, I'm hoping they get your attention. They got mine. I went to several religious leaders in the community that I knew, strong Christian people, and I said, what can we do about this? This was 3 years ago. So what can we do about this? And here, the response I got from many Christian leaders, loving, Christian, wonderful people, and I'm not trying in any way to demean these people, but they gave me 1 or 2 responses. One of them said, I don't believe the statistics. And the statistics I have are from the Suicide Prevention Alliance. These people do this professionally. They know the statistics. And if you want to see the statistics, I actually do have them there on my car, so you can actually take a look at where I get these. The second thing they said almost regularly to me was, if these people knew Jesus, they would not take their own lives. So why are people taking their own lives if they know Jesus? They just did not have enough faith. And what I learned from all this was that there's a very large misunderstanding of what is happening with broken people. So I continued the journey. The journey took me outside of the Christian realm because Christians weren't talking about it. So I went to the Suicide Prevention Alliance. This is how I became part of the board. I said, how can I learn to help heal my students? And they said the same thing the other counselor did, said learn. So I became what's called assist trained, and I'm hoping some of you are, because I'd love to see more assist trained people. Assist actually stands for Applied Suicide Intervention, there's another S I can't remember, training. So it doesn't mean assisting somebody in suicide, it means to assist them away from it. And the whole principle of assist is that you give people one more day. So I became assist trained, and once I was assist trained, I became BSIT teacher BSIT trainer trained. BSIT is brief suicide intervention training. It is the shorter version of the assist that we can take, like I could bring it here, and within an hour, I can walk you through the basics. So I became a trainer for that. 75% of my students also became assist and BSIT trained. Because what we found out to help with the broken is that we help our own brokenness, we wanted to help other people. To give them one more day gave us one more day. And I believe that's so much what Jesus taught. But as I began working with the Suicide Prevention Alliance, I started working with NAMI also. NAMI is the National Association of Mental Illness. And the reason I began working with them is because they brought in a whole new dynamic that they taught me that I would like to bring to you. They asked me to head up. I'm on the board for the Suicide Prevention Alliance. NAMI and SPAMC, Suicide Prevention Alliance in Mesa County, they don't like me call it SPAMC, but I do. They call it SPA. SPAMC and NAMI joined with WCCCM, my organization, for one purpose, to bring this knowledge to the faith-based community, because what we're understanding is that the faith-based community, loving people, they want to do something. There's an army of people, courageous people, they just don't know what to do, and the resources are hard to find. Well, we're finding the resources. We're finding the ways to help through the churches. One of the things that we've found out and that they've taught me through NAMI is this, that there is a lot of discussion going on in the schools, the community, about teen suicide and how to help teens not commit suicide. And what we're finding, though, is that is not the area that we need to most look at. We do need to do that. There's great discussions going on there. Teens in every school are having this discussion. On college campus, the discussion is happening. And they're doing some amazing things, and we should not stop that. But one of the things that we're finding that is missing is that one statistic that we find is that not everyone that is depressed will take their own life, but everyone that takes their own life is depressed. So if we want to stop suicide, we should start working with them before they reach that point. Looking at all mental illness, looking at those that are depressed, have anxiety, mental disorders such as bipolar, schizophrenia, all these are scary things to talk about, but we have these people that are fighting these battles all around us, and they need somebody to stand next to them and say, we can help you through it. Who better to do that than the churches? Second thing we're finding out is that the number one at-risk group is not teenagers. Yes, there were 6 teenage suicides last year, but there was 48 suicides in our county. 48 suicides, 42 of them were men. Middle-aged white men are the number one at-risk group in our community, actually in our entire country. That means the most at-risk group is dads, fathers. And we wonder why teenagers are hurting so much. Maybe we need to understand that parents have a huge influence on their students, on their kids. So we need to start helping families. And we're asking churches to do that. What we're doing with the Faith Advisory Board that I'm heading up is we're looking at 3 levels that we're trying to help the community. The first is we're trying to find out what loving churches like you are doing and what you need. We have many resources that we're putting together, like Soul Shop, CIS programs for churches, things like that. So we're putting together and trying to make them available for the churches. See what you need. The second thing we're trying to do is we're trying to connect the churches together so that one church is not reinventing the wheel while another church has something going on. Let's bring them together. And the third thing we're trying to do is take this and Christ's love into the community through you. That was a quick overview of what I do. I'm going to be around here for a while to talk if you want to talk a little bit more, but I wanted to give you an idea that the discussion has started and we would like you to be involved. So there's many, many ways to be involved, and we would like to discuss those ways with you any way that we possibly can. So I want to say thank you very much for letting me be here. I will, like I said, be around for more discussion, and I'm always available. Reverend Johnston knows how to get a hold of me. I usually at a coffee shop. Thank you very much.
I'm a part of the outreach committee, and as the outreach committee, we're going to begin 4 times a year giving you a minute for missions. Minute for missions actually is a term that's recycled from earlier when Rebecca and I were on a missions committee. They didn't have outreach committees. So here at Nativity, we've got an outreach committee, and minute for outreach doesn't have that same ring or theme. Minute for missions before actually came from the pastor who feared giving me more than just 1 minute to talk. So here at Nativity, I proposed an hour of outreach. Yay. My idea was shut down by the vestry for 2 reasons. 1, they feared my vocal cords could be damaged by shouting that long. And 2, they were afraid that maybe I would suffer from a collapsed lung, like the fan at the One Direction concert just last week, who screamed so loud that she collapsed her lung and had to be taken to the hospital. So for fear and protection of my own health, we're only going to keep this to 1 minute. All right. The outreach committee meets once a month, and the purpose of our outreach committee is to make the world a better place in the name of Jesus, to create opportunities for you to act on your calling and to build community out of and through Nativity. So if you can kind of think of it as a Venn diagram, those 3 things. So we really want to make the world a better place. We want to empower you in that calling that the Holy Spirit has in your life. And we want to make a community. And where all 3 of those intersect, that's the thing when Scripture talks about it as the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth. And the way we're going to do that is it's kind of a balance for us. because we got to keep all three of those things in tension. And at the same time, we realized that we don't have the resources to do everything that we'd like to do. When we talk about outreach, what we really want to do is say, we know that all of you are busy with a lot of other things in your lives, but we want to create ways for people to get involved at the level that they possibly can. So different levels of involvement in outreach. And at the same time, we want everybody's input. So we'd really like to get ideas back from you. So today, when we do the piece, and every time you meet someone else, whenever you meet a member of Nativity, you need to just ask the simple question, are you a member of the outreach committee? If the answer is yes, say thank you very much. And here's my super genius idea on how to establish God's kingdom here on earth, blah, 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 blah. Now, if you say, are you a member of the outreach committee? And they say no, then your response back to them is, why the heck aren't you? All right. So we focus on this in two different ways. One, we're looking back at our last 40 years of success. We've done a lot of great things here as a community. We served meals to the homeless for years and years. We had Latino and Hispanic outreach from this church. We did really big and creative things. And with those, we've done things and we've changed things over the years. In particular, one thing that we did was we participated in Men in Heels. Men in Heels came from Thomas McCall's. If you remember Thomas, a past member here at Nativity. And it really is a locally grown fundraiser for the victims of domestic violence. And it really is a true antidote to this thing that we hear about in the media today, that toxic masculinity. But in it, we entered into this highly competitive, physically dangerous, and sometimes embarrassing physical endeavor. With that, we had three different Nativity members who've participated all 3 years. We are the very first church to ever have done this. And 3 years in a row, we had three people participate in it. We had Brian Wiseman over here. And most of you know that the question is always asked, why was Jesus born 2,000 years ago? And the simple answer is because it's hard to find three wise men alive today. But we have one of them here. The other one is Craig Hughes in the back, who's always quick to cover his eyes when I mention his name in church. And Ben Manchi. Now, we won this race 3 years in a row. And this year, we won. The Men in Heels in that race that's happened is over the last 2 years, they've had a depletion of actual teams in the race and the fundraising from that race. So Nativity's taken it on, and behind the scenes now, we've challenged our first other church. And we're hoping to go out and try to challenge as many as possible of the 100, more than 100 churches here in the Valley to get more churches to show up for that event and basically get men to take on that, let's say it, put on their big boy shoes and get out there and race. The other thing that we did in the past that was a super success was last year we had the reverse giving, Nativity Cares. And that really was a great testament when you showed each other and you showed us the creative ways you were able to take $25 and really put that out into the world in a creative way. We were able to feed kids who weren't getting lunch at school. We were able to put utensils into a local shelter. And the stories that came from that go on and on and on. And we just think that you guys super rock. That was a great job last year. And then the last piece is as we look forward and we go forward as the outreach committee, we've got an opportunity before us. It was actually the headlines of the paper this week. It's the Kairos Ministries and the houses that they're opening up for homeless youth. And we've got an opportunity now to participate in one of those homes. It may be something where we're just taking meals, or it could go all the way up to some kind of mentorship partnership. But nobody, no church, no community organization yet has adopted any of those houses for homeless youth in a way to really put community around that and really support those kids. So we're moving forward with that. Like the men in heels were hoping to get some kind of really cool trophy out of that one too. Thank you so much from your outreach committee.